Let's bow our heads in prayer. Gracious Father, we're so thankful, Lord, for all the activities today, especially the youngsters, Lord, the young children, giving their hearts to Jesus Christ and being baptized into the family of God. And so, Father, we're grateful knowing that pretty soon, Lord, our time will be up here on earth. And as Brother Branham said, when that the man's had enough alcohol, he'll push the button and the missiles will be coming, and then we'll go home at the same time. So, Lord, we're just grateful to be watching and ready for your manifestations. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. This evening, we're going to look at Nation Will Be Against Nation, Part 2. And we want to look at World War III and the United States proxy war against Russia, which has begun in the Ukraine between Russia and the United States. It's actually, I call it a proxy war because Ukraine they could not take on Russia. It's a matter of the United States has taken on Russia, and we're arming them, and we're sending our billions of dollars over there. So really, you know, they say, well, they're just fighting for us. No, we're actually sending our own troops there, too. And before we begin, I want you to know that look who is involved in this war. Now, it is NATO with a history of hiring Nazi military leaders. Now, the first eight leaders, if you see the men up here, and I could probably blow that up for you, but they were Nazi generals, and they became NATO commanders, all right? I don't know if I can blow it large enough, but I will see if we can read it. It's kind of, you know, kind of hard to read. But you see, no, I guess it really doesn't matter. Anyway, their names don't really matter. You can look them up. I've got the PDF. You can look on the PDF, and you will see it, and you'll see their names. But these eight generals were Nazi generals during World War II, and they became NATO generals. And so NATO is a farce. It's just a Nazi. Look, it even starts with an N, like Nazism. I mean, you know, it's a farce. And they began. And these, I vetted these personally because I didn't want to stick my neck out and then have something wrong. So I looked them up on Wikipedia and different places. And yes, every one of these were a Nazi general, and they were, some were in the Luftwaffe, some were generals, you know, under Rommel. You know, you've heard of Rommel, and different ones. So, you know, what's going on? I mean, when you put Nazi generals in charge of NATO, well, that's, you know, Germany has their say-so. Germany is running NATO, and Germany has their generals who have been in charge of NATO. So the highest-ranking generals, so who is controlling NATO? It's the Nazi Party, all right? Now, every one of these was fact-checked and is accurate. Now, let's look at the history of Ukraine. It is a country that fought for the Nazis, and after the war, they still were ruled by Nazi Party, all right? During this time, many Nazi officials were hidden away in Ukraine by the CIA. The eastern Ukraine were Russian-aligned, and the Western Ukrainians were led by the Nazi Party. In 1991, Soviet Russia broke up, and Gorbachev left behind 15 separate states, Ukraine being one of them. Now, here's a picture of Ukraine up here, and it's probably up this side for you to read. And you see it's a very large nation compared to, say, Romania and all the Eastern Bloc nations, and even some of the Western Bloc nations. So it's very large, and you'll find that there's a river that separates eastern Ukraine, this river right here. It separates eastern Ukraine from western Ukraine, and if you look on the map, they became a west-leaning state. Russia did not want their buffer states to become NATO-controlled, and I don't blame them. You know, we threw a tizzy when Russia put some nuclear weapons in Cuba. And that's several hundred miles away, and we got, you know, we're ready to go to war at the time. Well, why shouldn't they go to war if we put our NATO, you know, if we make these nations NATO? So, after all, NATO was run by the German Nazi generals since its inception until April 9, 1949. But they didn't all die until then. I mean, many of these didn't die till like 2006, the last of them, which is right because they were generals in their 40s during World War II, and by the time came 2000, some of them were pretty aged. Now, it all came down to a boil when the CIA-led color revolution, when Viktor Yanukovych was elected president. Many of the Western Nazi people marched on Kiev, and Yanukovych fled to Moscow. He was the Moscow, you know, he was related, I mean, he was pro-Moscow. You can see the native Russian people and the yellow in the blue, it's best to look at the this one here. Notice all the blue side, those are provinces in Ukraine that are Russian-speaking, okay? And Viktor Yanukovych, you see, he got all the votes from this region right over here. Then Yushchenko got really strong votes from here, and then they were kind of split in the orange, okay? Now, many of the Western Nazi people marched on Kiev, and Yanukovych fled to Moscow. He fled for his life because they were burning, and they were basically being like the Black Lives Matter and burning down the city. Well, you can see the native people in yellow and native to Ukraine in orange are in a mix of the two colors, okay? The CIA-led Western peoples claimed to be that he abandoned his post, and so they overturned the election and put in Western-backed Petro Poroshenko, U.S. strawman, okay? During this time, the Western Ukrainians began to treat the Eastern with contempt, invading the Donbas area, which were of mainly Russian descent. This caught the attention of Vladimir Putin, who used it as a mere excuse to take back the Crimea, which had been historically a main port for Russia. So the Crimea didn't really belong to Ukraine. It belonged to Russia. And you see, you have to understand, Khrushchev, how many of you remember Khrushchev? You know, he took off his shoe and pounded on the table and said, we will. Well, anyway, Khrushchev was Ukrainian. So he leaned toward Ukraine. And so then when he split up all the countries into 15, you know, he took the part that was Ukraine and Crimea, which was separate, and he made it into Ukraine. All right, so that was done by him, but this caught the attention of Vladimir Putin, who used it as a mere excuse to take back Crimea, which had historically been a main port for Russia. You see, you take Crimea out of the situation. Crimea is this part of the Ukraine down here. All right, so Russia for years and years, their submarines, their naval carriers, everything, that was the only port they had that could get access to the sea. So they were basically landlocked. And so Crimea was a real strategic target they'd like to have back, and they got it back because of what has happened. So anyway, later it escalated into war to take back the Donbas region, which is basically the eastern pro-Russian region. Again, these are pro-Russian speaking, and then these are Ukrainian. So really, most of Ukraine was Russia. They spoke Russian. They their ancestry was Russian. So, you know, these people were pretty much Russian. And now, as I mentioned a couple weeks back, you look at this picture of France, and you see a stapling of Texas over France, and you can see how big it is, a region that the Russians' nuclear weapons will take out. In other words, the size of the state of Texas is superimposed over France, and it shows he just needs one or two, probably one in western France, He doesn't have to worry about, you know, Spain or Portugal. They're pretty weak. But, you know, Germany and the UK, I mean, three there and then three across America, and you basically got all of your competition wiped out. And the thing about the supersonic or the hypersonic missile that they have now is that we have no weapon that can touch them. I mean, it's like shooting a bullet versus a BB. You know, our missiles travel like a BB, and theirs are like bullets. So very, very fast, three times as fast as what we got. So anyway, later then this escalation, this war escalated into the Dunbar region, and which is across here. And then you see it, the country is split by a river. All right. So it is all political, but has since become a proxy war between Russian against all the Western NATO countries, including the USA. You know, because the pact that we have says if NATO goes to war, we go with them. All right. Well, really, what's happening over there is as the U.S. goes, so does NATO go. In other words, they're just a puppet. And so now we know what kind of weapons that Russia has, which are many hypersonic weapons, including the Satan II. It's dubbed Satan II. It's called different than that. But which can destroy the region the size of Texas or France. All right. We also know what Brother Bram said in the seventh vision, that Russia would strike America and destroy it. I'm going to read you right now a quote that was just sent to me today from Brother Peter in Australia. This is from Queen of Sheba, preached in 1960. Brother Bram said, when God sends a gift to the people and they recognize it, it's always a golden age. But when they refuse it, there's nothing left but a chaos for that generation. Now listen closely. If God has sent the Holy Spirit to this age for a sign, and we reject it, there's nothing left but destruction. But if we refuse it, we'll sure be to be blown off of the earth. The atomic bombs are hanging ready now, each one afraid to pull the trigger. But someday they'll have too much vodka. You know, who drinks vodka? The Russians drink vodka, okay? And when that bomb passes through that radar sound, when it goes through there, there'll be others go the other way. So as it's coming, we are going. Not a minute before, not a minute after. And you know what will take place? The world can't stand it, and the gospel has been preached. And Christ, listen to this quote, and Christ is being made manifested to the people. Just before the rapture of the taking away of the church, before that can happen, the church will be gone. Hallelujah, because I don't have to worry about nothing. You know, my daughter had a dream the other day. Peter had the same exact dream. That hypersonic missiles were going across the sky. And they looked up and they saw them going across the sky. She, in her dream, she looked for her kids. But then nothing happened to her. I mean, in the dream, she wasn't blown up. In the dream, Peter's dream, he wasn't blown up. They just saw the thing happen, and then all of a sudden, they wake up. Well, I think you didn't see the end of the vision, but the end of the vision is you were taken out of here. That's why you didn't see anything else. All right. So, hallelujah. So we know what the vision, the seventh vision tells us, that Russia will invade the USA. In some quotes, he said, we would surrender, which means give up, all right? We know that they have hypersonic missiles, which we can't defend against. Russia looks on the USA as a sodomite-controlled pedophile nation with all of our perverted legislation, making this the capital of a sodomite control, with all of this LGBTQRXYZ, etc., legislation, allowing men to compete with women in the sports and using their bathrooms and their locker room. What perversion. Who that is my age could have ever dreamed it would be this perverted? Even Peter, who's half my age, well, not really, but he's younger. You know, I'll allow that. He's young. And he would say, wow, you know, this is just crazy. I mean, these people are insane. So we get to the seventh vision. The voice bade me to look once more, and as I turned and beheld, a great explosion rent the entire land and left the land of America in smoldering, chaotic ruin. As far as the eye could see, there was naught but craters, smoking piles of debris, and no humanity in sight. Then the vision then faded away. From Ezekiel says, Son of man, what is that proverb that you have in the land of Israel saying, the days are prolonged and every vision faileth? Tell them therefore, thus saith the Lord God, I will make this proverb to cease, and they shall no more use it as a proverb in Israel. In other words, the visions will come to pass. It might have been 2,000 years since some of these visions that I've read to you, or even 2,700 years from Isaiah, but that proverb, he says, is going to go away. But say unto them, the days are at hand, and the effect of every vision. So there comes a time when the visions become material. They become just as real to you as the Word of God was in seed form, now is real to you because you see it. Okay? Son of man, behold, they of the house of Israel say, the vision that he seeth is for many days to come, and he prophesies of the times that are far off. Therefore say unto them, thus saith the Lord God, there shall none of my words be prolonged any more, but the word which I have spoken shall be done, saith the Lord God. So there's coming a time when the seventh vision will be fulfilled. It is upon us. All six of them already have been come to pass. We're now in the process of the seventh one happening. We're also reading Habakkuk 2:2-3. And the Lord answered me and said, write the vision and make it plain upon tables, that he may run that readeth it. For the vision is yet for an appointed time, but at the end it shall speak. So it's going to speak. What does that mean? It's going to be expressed. It's going to be manifested, you see, and not lie. Though it tarry, wait for it, because it will surely come. It will not tarry. Michael and I were talking this afternoon, and, you know, it's funny because I could say that we perhaps saw, we started to look, before my stroke, we started to look at these seeds. You know, we read the parables of Christ, and Brother Brown said every word of the New Testament speaks to this hour. So we took the parables, you know, from modern times. But since the stroke, all I can see is the Word of God is manifesting. It's manifesting. Though it tarry, wait for it, because it will surely come. It will not tarry. So we are living in the age where the Word has completely unfolded. Every seed, word seed, that God gave from before the foundations of the world is now in this hour coming into fruition. That's incredible. To be able to live in this hour and see these things unfold, you're a special people because you can see them. The world doesn't see them. They might see one or two, but they're not seeing what the Word says. Now, from the Laodicean church age, Brother Brown said, but the Lord showed me a vision of a great, powerful woman in 1933, it's on paper, of how many can look back in 1933? Women didn't have power. They didn't even have the vote. Their bathing suits came up to their neck, and they were long and fluffy, and, you know, women looked like they were probably 400 pounds because of all the clothing that they wore. But look at these visions, how they unfolded. How that Mussolini would make his first invasion to Ethiopia, and he would take it, but he'd come to a disgraceful end. And how then the three isms of Nazism, fascism, and communism would all wind up in communism. And how many in here remembers me just keep having your stand and say it all over, like, watch Russia, the king of the north, watch Russia, king of the north, watch Russia, king of the north. Now, why is Putin in Ukraine? He's in Ukraine to get rid of, for once and for all, Nazism. So it will be crumbled up into communism. All right? And, you know, Ukraine in 2014, under the Nazis, began to purge the Russians from society, and he stepped in, and that's what this war is all about. Now, the prophet said we would have Nazism, fascism, and communism, but they would all wind up in communism. We are watching that right now transpire. Isn't that great? You're actually seeing the seed of God coming to pass? So you're seeing the vision that he had. You're actually seeing it. Now, how many in here remembers me just keep you, having you stand and say over and over, watch Russia, watch Russia, the King of the North, watch Russia, King of the North, watch Russia, King of the North? How many has heard me say this, wave that over and over? The old timers, you see, back in the early parts of the church, just stand there and wave it over and over. Watch Russia, the King of the North. See, what he would do for those isms will heap up in Russia. So here you have a people who were with a vindicated prophet in 33. Many of them died out by 65, but you know there's a few of them that lived to they're all gone now. I think Billy Paul was 2 years old in 33. He was 30. He wasn't even born yet for two more years. So notice he's saying, watch Russia, watch Russia, watch Russia. Then what happens? Russia becomes the Soviet Union. After he says this, then it looks like the prophecy isn't going to stand, that the prophecy is wrong. Trump came in and it looked like, wow, he's having a great relationship with Putin. And, you know, our two countries are getting along. And so, you know, did Brother Branham miss it? Well, I said no. I said, you know, just wait and watch. And so we wait and watch. And, you know, when I read from Daniel chapter 8, 23-25, and said Trump would come up against the Catholic Church and then he would be dethroned. Basically, he said he would be out of hand. All right? That's what the Bible said. And I said, okay, it's over for him. I don't care if he's, you know, if he's defeated fairly or unfairly, he's done. And that's when I became anti-Trump. Because like his son, he would write to me and say, oh, we need your money to make America great again. And I told him, I said, no. I said, you never did make America great because your dad had sodomites in the administration. And as long as you have sodomites in the administration, it isn't going to be right. You have to have Jesus Christ. You have to put him first in all things. So, and he is the word. So I never heard back from him. I'm glad I haven't. So notice in 1933, it told him to watch Russia, not watch the Soviet Union, which didn't come till about 1946 or 7, and then it collapsed in 1990, I think it was. So it when the Russian Empire collapsed, or the Soviet Union collapsed, and they went back to, you know, they made 15 different states and whatever. Now, it is a fact that when the drones attacked the Russian Capitol building of the Kremlin just a few days ago, that Putin was sleeping in his room, and it was an assassination attempt on his life. Russia's top diplomat, Sergei Alexeyev Ryabkov, who is a deputy foreign minister of Russia, used the Latin term cacus belli, or caucus belli, in talking about this assassination attempt. This word means the cause of war. Look it up in the Google translation. Caucus is a cause, and belly was war. So it's the cause of war. The same thing happened before World War I when Archduke Franz Ferdinand of Austria was assassinated. I had an opportunity to visit the hotel in Norway where he had been staying. Anyway, it was interesting because when we got off the ferry and then we drove over and we're standing at the hotel, there was a double rainbow in between us and where we had landed. And it looked dimensional because in between the two rainbows was different from, you couldn't see you couldn't see any of the mountains in the background. It was all just like it wasn't there. All right. So it was kind of interesting. I have pictures of it. But I had the opportunity to visit the same place where he was staying, on his, and then he left there and he went and he got assassinated. Now, if the pattern holds true, like then, that it would take us to early June. I think he was assassinated May 5th, and the war started June 6th. Okay, World War I. Which still gives us time for a spring rapture. You see how all these things fit together. Now, when you look at the insanity that controls the nuclear football, just about anything can happen. We all had it wrong, and we're looking for some drunken Russian to set off in motion for a World War III, but we didn't realize we have all the makings of insanity running this country, not that country. All right? From faith once delivered to the saints, Brother Branham said, going to Sunday school one morning, I was caught away in a vision, and I said, now, under inspiration of the Holy Spirit, I said, now, there's going to be three great isms, which now in existence. One of them is in Rome, which is fascism. One of them is in Germany, which is Nazism. And the other is Russia, which is communism. And I said, those great isms is the unclean spirits that went out of the mouth of the false prophets and the dragon and so forth that will unite themselves together, speaking things they should not, and they'll all beat at one another until they'll finally wind up in one ism. And you know, the three great isms were three great, you remember the frogs that came out of the river in Revelations? Brother Branham said that was Trinity, the three frogs. And he said, notice they're always looking backwards. Well, what is Nazism? But it's where the government, which was Catholic, joined together with corporations. That formed Nazism. What has communism become? The same thing. It's called socialism, the socialist republic, you know, in this country. Okay, who's running things? Bill Gates, and many of the multi-billionaires in the United States. So you see, these great isms is the unclean spirits that went out of the mouth of the false prophet and the dragon and so forth, that will unite themselves together, speaking things that they should not, and they'll all beat at one another. And remember, this communism we see in America rise up is led by a Catholic, Biden. Communism in Russia is led by a Catholic, but a Eastern Orthodox Catholic, Putin. So you got the two Catholic churches are vying for total control. You see, that's the religious side of things. They don't show that in the press. They only show the political side of things, okay? So, and I predict that that will be communism, and communism will burn the Vatican. Now, and I said, just before the end time comes. So, communism is going to burn the Vatican before the end time comes. Now, remember, I will say this. Before the end time comes, wrote 23 years ago, before the end time comes, there'll be a woman, there'll be a great ruler in this nation. She'll either be a president or something on that order. Now, what is the Secretary of State? The Secretary of State makes all foreign policy. So they basically have control over what the U.S. pushes, like the LGBT menu, in all the nations. She has the power to start wars, to stop wars. She has the power to... Saddam Hussein, hunt him down, or Gaddafi, hunt him down like a dog, and then laugh about it when he's sacrificed, okay? And I say sacrifice because, you know, they're worshiping Satan, okay? Now, before the end time comes, there'll be a woman, that'll be a great woman in this nation. She'll either be president. See, he didn't say she will be president. She'll either be president or something on that order. Some great woman. And at that time, automobiles, just before the coming of the Lord, will be in the shape of an egg. Now, remember that and keep that in mind. See, that was in 1932 or something like that. And look how they're shaping down every year. I'm going to show you some pictures in just a moment. Now, from Shalom, he said, and it is not a strange thing that in this day, that when we have come through all these things and the message has crossed the earth against organizations, it's blasted it from right to left, that in this hour, that's been told since 1933, when the Holy Ghost gave me that visions and showed me the end time, seven things that I spoke of, and five of them have already happened perfectly, right on, like Germany and Italy and all the wars, and the national things, seldom speaks to me on those things, but they happened just exactly the way he said that they'd happen. How that Mussolini would go to Ethiopia, and Ethiopia would fall at his step, and how that he'd come to disgrace and be spit on by his people and disgrace. You know why he's spit on and hung? Because he is living in idolatry, living in adultery with nothing but a Jezebel. You see how far we've come? Now they can have an LGBT, they can even have a male lover, and they're, you know, patted on the back and said, oh, you're a good guy. It's just totally, totally sick what's happened. But they just happened just exactly the way he said they'd happen. How Mussolini would go to Ethiopia would fall at his step, and then how that he'd come to disgrace and be spit on by his own people in disgrace and hung upside down with that prostitute that he lived with on the street. How that the Americans would go to war with Germany and they'd take an awful beating at a place called a Great Line where we would have concrete fortified in there. I believe it was called the Siegfried Line, and there's one called the Maginot, and I believe that was the French. Was that right? And the Siegfried Line was a German line, and the Lord told, let me see that, 11 years before it was built. And they never would admit getting a beating on it, and the Americans wouldn't, until they'd almost sunk the complete army. When they went in there, and the Germans had their guns just trained right on that fleet, and let it get right in there almost, and sunk it. And I seen that 11 years before the line was even a foundation that was ever poured for it. So in other words, before the foundation was even poured, he saw it, or anything, the Siegfried Line. And all these other things, like machine guns and machines and automobiles, and now everything has come right down exactly what he said, until a woman ruling this nation, which perhaps is the church, and then the end will come. Now, the picture that you see on your up there is Mussolini and some of his cohorts are being hung upside down in the streets of Italy. So the things that the prophet told us took place exactly. That is a seed of God in manifestation. And he saw it 11 years before it took place. Now, from an exposition of the seven church ages, the Laodicean church age, the Lord Jesus spoke to me and said that the coming of the Lord was drawing nigh, but that before he came, seven major events would transpire. I wrote them all down, and that morning I gave forth the revelation of the Lord. The first vision was that Mussolini would invade Ethiopia and that nation would fall at his steps. That vision surely did come. Did cause some repercussions, and some were very angry when I said it and would not believe it. But it happened that way. He just walked in there with his modern arms and took over. The natives didn't have a chance, but the vision also said that Mussolini would come to a horrible end with his own people turning on him. That came to pass just exactly as it was. So that's fulfilled. Now, the next vision told that an Austrian by the name of Adolf Hitler would rise as a dictator over Germany and that he would draw the world into war. It showed the Siegfried Line and how troops would have a terrible time to overcome it. Then it showed that Hitler would come to a mysterious end. And so you see the picture that it says Hitler is dead, but they actually didn't know about the body. There was a body found. They called it Hitler's for a while. The Russians did, but actually it was that of a woman, because when they unearthed that and they did the DNA, it was a woman. So Hitler was never found, but there are films that were made in South America, and I've been to those cities, and they're very German cities. They speak German. Everything about them is German. The little chateaus and stuff where he lived, okay, in the Lake District. Now, the Lake District is in northern Argentina, and I preached there twice. And anyway, I went to the different shops and stuff like this, and saw all the things that his people had left behind. Well, even the people, even their descendants now live there. So anyway, his daughter, she went to the Argentina government and said that her husband, who was one of the bodyguards of Hitler, was beating on her. So they helped her to change her name, give her a new passport, and she went back off to someplace. They wouldn't say because they didn't want her to follow. But anyway, so they were living like on a ranch farm, big farm, you know, two-story house. They had servants and stuff. They interviewed the servants on this documentary, and they showed him sitting at the table with the servants and different things. So, yes, it's true. Right. The third vision was in the realm of world politics. He went there. He was stored away in a submarine, and that's how he, you know, they landed in the submarine. At the time, if you recall, the head of Argentina, the president, was Juan Perón, and his wife, you know, Eva, you know, she's famous for the play, something about Argentina. I can't remember how it goes, but don't fret for me, Argentina. You know, you've all heard it was big in the 80s. Anyway, so Juan Perón he contributed millions of dollars to the Nazi cause, okay? Now, the third vision was in the realm of world politics, for it showed me that there would be three great isms, fascism, Nazism, and communism, but that the first two would be swallowed up into the third, okay? So that's fulfilled now. And in the process of finally demolishing all Nazis in Ukraine. The voice admonished, watch Russia, watch Russia. Keep your eye on the King of the North. Why? Because she's the one who demolishes communism. I mean, she takes communism and demolishes it, Nazism. Okay. The fourth vision showed the great advances in science that would come after the Second World War. It was headed up in a vision of a plastic-topped car that was running down beautiful highways under remote control so that the people would appear seated in this car without a steering wheel, and they were playing some sort of game to amuse themselves. And so I've got a picture here where they're actually going down the highway, and this was the car that actually was introduced at the World's Fair in around 1960. Then the fifth vision. Oh, by the way, that car is, how many have seen those little Google cars that look like an egg, you know, and they got some type of a computer on top and they're taking pictures of, so that, you know, I mean, they take pictures right up your driveway, you know. Yeah, those things are, and they're trying to make them still, I mean, my car is almost, you know, I have gone on a clover leaf with my car, took my hands off of it, push the button that says, to lane control, and I've turned, and the car turns around without my hands on it. It just turns, and but after a while, it says, you know, you got to grab your wheel again. So, anyway, but my car actually has like 17 sensors on it. It's an old car; it's like 2017, but they've had this technology around, and you can go to work, you could read your newspaper, and basically, it would stay between the lanes, and if a car in front of you slows down, it slows you down. You don't even have to brake. Many, many times, my car is braking, and my foot's nowhere near the brake. You know, it's just resting. And so that's just the way that the technology is. All right, so then anyway, in the fifth vision, it had to do with our moral problems of our age, centering mostly around women. God showed me that women began to get out of their place with the granting of the vote. Then they cut off their hair, which signified that they were no longer under the authority of man, but insisted on either being equal rights or, in most cases, more than equal rights. And she adopted men's clothing. Well, now see, so you see, the Communist Party in America is called the Democratic Socialists of America, okay? And they are, you know, running their petitions. Then Brother Bam talks about the fifth vision, where he saw a woman, and she was just wearing fig leaves. Well, for the sake of those in here who are young and the female folk, I put a cutout so that you can't really see anything because it's just a cutout. It's like a shadow. But if you notice the next picture, those two men are dressed in drag, and they are in the cabinet of Joe Biden. You have the one dressed in a Navy suit, and that person, I forget what she calls herself, but she's not a she, she's a he. And, you know, even look at her hair. I mean, she looks like an old man. If you just cover up, you know, from the shoulders up, you see she's an old man, but she's got a dress on. And then the other one, he's got a mini skirt. And he wears this big, huge red lips and a bald head. And he thinks he's sexy. I think he's disgusting. He's, you know, I wouldn't step on him because I wouldn't want to get rid of that pair of shoes. So anyway, and if you look at the Biden White House, you know, it's not white, it's colored. I mean, they put lights on to make it LGBT. It went into a state of undress until the last picture I saw was a woman naked except for a little fig leaf type apron. Now, there are pictures on the internet, and you don't want to see them, of women wearing fig leaves. It's disgusting. But like I said, for church purposes, we put on the one that you could stomach, even though it's hard to stomach. Now, with this vision, I saw the terrible perversion, sodomites and homosexuals, the LGBTQXYZ, etc., and moral plight of the whole world. All right. So he saw that the U.S. would become a sodomite nation. He saw the whole world would be pushed into sodomite nation. I read you this morning I sent out this morning a video that the president of Uganda said, we will not think like you think. You know, your money's okay here, but that's about it. We don't want your customs. We don't want the way that you are. Because Putin considers us sodomites. And you know what? All those so-called backward nations in Africa, they think we're sodomites too. So our sympathy and empathy has gone out the door. All right? Then in the sixth vision, there rose up in America a most beautiful but cruel woman. Now, she held the people in her complete power. He said she would be wearing purple. I believe that this was the rise of the Roman Catholic Church, though I knew it could possibly be a vision of some woman rising in great power in America due to a popular vote by women. Notice Hillary Clinton is dressed in purple, and so is Kamala Harris dressed in purple. Now, Hillary is much more evil than Kamala, although Kamala is disgusting because she's really a prostitute who basically used sex to gain influence in her position. But Hillary is just disgusting. And notice he says she'd be a most powerful woman. Well, who took down Trump? She did. All right? Russia, remember? Russia collusion, that was all fake. She paid for it, and she didn't do any crime. She didn't do any time. You know, and Trump, you know, his fame is, well, you know, I'm going to put her in prison when I get in office. He never did it. Why? Because he just did what everybody else does. And you know what? He's a guy who pushed the agenda for getting everybody vaccinated across this nation. So he's a traitor, and I wouldn't vote for him if he was the last man on earth. He's a traitor. So you say, well, who are you going to vote for? Isn't when George Bush ran against the Chad man, starts with a G. Gore. When George Bush ran against Gore, I wrote in about, I said, Lee Bell for president and Brian Kosork for vice president. Now, I probably only got one vote. But anyway, you know, that's just what I did because I was not going to, you know, Brother Brown said, I don't vote anymore. Well, I got sucked in like everybody is, you know. Oh, good, Trump. At least we want Trump versus this woman because, you know, it'll give us more time. Well, I knew it would only give us more time, maybe 4 years. And I was grateful because look at what God has done for us in the last 4 years. I mean, half of you wouldn't even be here if Hillary had become president, you wouldn't have been here, and the nation would be bombed, and you'd be left out on your own. But see, God in his mercy knew exactly what there was need of, and so he gave us time. That's all that Trump was just giving us time. Now, the last and seventh vision was wherein I heard a most terrible explosion. As I turned, I looked, I saw nothing but debris, craters, and smoke all over the land of America. So we see the atomic bomb is going to go off. We see it'll take out the region about the size of the state of Texas. So three of them across the United States will basically obliterate the United States. I would say that they will take out. Well, your brother Bram said Louisville will be taken out, and he also said they had one for the submarine bases in the Washington, and we know the state of Washington, or the D.C. will be taken out, and the West Coast will be. They won't have to take it out. It'll be flooded. So you know, that leaves the Central America in ruin, okay? And that's what's going to come. So from handwriting on the law, he said, but we've let it come to this place in our sin and modern living, and without prayer, this in the church cooling off and going away, we've let it get to a place. Well, anyway, he talks about how Russia will invade us, and if you notice, you see parachutes coming down. Those are Russian soldiers actually parachuting, practicing. And we see that the soldiers with the little children. Did you know, if you look it up, that you'll find pictures that are too vulgar for me to put up on the website, but of women who are protesting the raping of women in Ukraine by Russian soldiers. It says that it is a technique of war. You rape them, and that brings terror. So you use that as a terrorist device of raping the women and children and of bashing in the skulls of children. Now, you think I'm making this up. God's word tells us it's going to happen. All right? So they got a ton and a half or two-ton bomb up there now, or satellite. We couldn't touch them with no missiles. See, now, back then, our missiles flew just as fast as theirs, but with the hypersonic, we can't touch them with the missiles. You see how that vision had to wait a few years to fulfill itself in 2018? All right? There ain't a thing that we could do about it. They could get a few of those hydrogen bombs, move it right over the United States and say, surrender or go to ashes. They can do it in the next 15 minutes or so. What would we do? Why, the only sensible thing there is to do is surrender. But guess what? We don't have a sensible government, do we? So they think, well, you know, if you send a missile our way, we'll just send five your way. Wait, they're looking for a total oblivion, okay? All right. Why, the only sensible thing would be to do is surrender. The Pentagon would surrender. The nation would surrender. Then what would happen? Right in our drunken stew, like another Pearl Harbor, great shiploads of ungodly men, Russian soldiers, planes full of them, come right into our homes and grab the women, ravish them, bust the heads of their babies in the streets, take over a home and kick you out. Take over your home and kick you out. What are you going to do about it? All because we have failed to see this handwriting on the wall and the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Listen, brother, that could happen by morning. And if it's that close, how many here that's read the newspapers and understand that that could happen by morning and we couldn't help it, raise your hand. Sure. All right? So we read in Psalm 137, verse 9, they will grab your babies, your little ones, and throw them against the rocks. So that is a prophecy in Scripture, and he's just quoting what the Scripture says, that they will dash their heads against the rocks. Now, from Sign of the Time, he says, by this time tomorrow night, hear me, there's not one thing that would keep shipload after shipload, plane load after plane load of Russian soldiers right out here grabbing these women and ravishing them in the streets and doing what they want to, come in, and if they like your house, kick you out of it, and that's it. What are you going to do about it? Ungodly, barbarous men. Now, there's two pictures, and I didn't realize it, but they overlapped one. There's one that says, always rape. Wives of Russian soldiers encourage them to rape. Wives of Russian soldiers encourage them to rape. And the other one is Ukrainian women alleged Russian soldiers raped her. All right? And again, I've got pictures, but I can't show you. I didn't even keep the pictures, by the way. They're still on the internet. But, of a bunch of women protesting, and they put blood and stuff down their legs, and just awful looking. And for the pictures. But anyway, to get the point across, okay? So who doesn't know nothing about God and cares much less? You say, well, God does that. He certainly does, according to his Bible. He has a punishing whip when his people won't obey. There's not a thing. What would our Pentagon do if Russia did such a thing and say, now surrender or go to ashes? We'd have to surrender. Only sensible thing to do would be surrender. Now, there's about four or five quotes I'm going to read you where he said, we're going to surrender. All right? They're up there. We can't bring them down. They've got their guns on us, just about three or four of them bombs, and that settles the whole thing. And oh, she's all shook up, brother, sister. The nations are such a tremendous nervous condition tonight till they don't know what to do. All right, from Half Faith in God. I pray that you'll manifest yourself in your great power of the resurrection, that when the great bomb does fly this way, that Sputnik, with thousands of Russian soldiers with their atomic bombs hanging there, surrender or go to dust. What could we do? Oh, God, the church will be gone then. And finally, from Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever, the whole world might get in these Sputniks and just say, well, you want to perish or surrender. What would we do? See, and it's laying in the hands of sinful men. What if somebody happens to drink too much vodka someday and turn one of those missiles loose? Every nation's got them ready just to pull. Why, the world couldn't survive it. Now, I do have a couple links that you can watch. These were made by a believer, and they are a video of the seven visions with pictures following the video, like people being hung upside down. This, the different pictures I showed you, plus other pictures. So it's very good, actually, very, very good to watch, because it kind of sets the tone for what's coming. So we are sitting here tonight getting ready for communion, and the world is in a place where it's ready to eliminate itself. Putin's doctrine is no Russia, no world. In other words, if the world continues to want to attack them, then they'll just attack the world. And they'll obliterate the world. All it would take, he said three or four, so let's say four. All it would take was three or four bombs that will take out the size of Texas, and basically the United States is gone. And you could probably use three of them in the U.S. here local, and then use one of them in Alaska, and it'll take out the whole thing. So let's just bow our heads and pray, because this is a time when we're reflecting about the coming of the Lord. And, he's ready to do what he can to take us out of here. I believe that with all my heart. So let's just bow and pray. Dear gracious God, we just thank you in the name of Jesus Christ, your Son, for all that you've shown us and are continuing to show us. And, Lord, I know that this sermons were... maybe there wasn't a whole lot of material that I could give, or there was more than I could give, actually. And so we just gave what we have. But, Father, you know that the seventh vision is about to be fulfilled. We are on the cusp of being raptured. And so, Lord, let us just look to your promises and say, you said it. I believe it, and that settles it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.